creativity and spirituality go hand in the way both optimize slash maximize our immersion in the here and now, our transcendence of stress and anxiety, the access to flow states, the dissolution of any limitation of expression through curiosity, our ability to play, deconstruct, experiment, explore, learn, love, tapping into a higher frequency.
This is the Beware How Show, mystic philosophy made practical. There are many paths up the mountain, and we're just pointing at a few of them. I'm Bob Peck, speaking with Scott Stanley, Ryan Padgett, and Melina Kiriaki. We are conscious creatives and formerly closeted mystics trying to unpack the inaccessible. According to the mystics, the truth cannot be spoken, but we'll try to talk about it anyway.
Hi, I'm Bob Peck, and this is the Beware How Show. I'm speaking regularly with Scott Stanley, Ryan Padgett, and Melina Kiriaki. Scott is moving across the country today, so he's out. Our guest today is Marcelo Villaseñor. Welcome, Marcelo.
Hello.
For us today, we're so glad to have you. Marcelo, I'm going to read your short bio here, and we'll jump into it.
Let's do it.
Marcelo Villaseñor is a visual artist based in Austin, Texas. He's originally from Monterrey, Mexico. Marcelo works primarily with photography and design with the intention to deconstruct life through creative and meditative processes. His creative brand is Visual Mantra, whose tagline is mindful art to align awareness. Marcelo writes, "In esencia soy somos expresión del cosmos. In essence, I am, we are, expression of the cosmos." In other words, an artist of the soul. He says, "My favorite thing to do is to reciprocate healing, love, inspiration, ideas, knowledge, and anything that brings us life." Really nice. Thank you for planting that seed today of intention and sincerity.
Beautiful. Yes, and actually, I want to start with, I was listening to, of course, one of the episodes of your podcast when you talk about, when y'all talk about Hanuman. The monkey man. I love that image. I love monkeys.
The servant.
Yes, which my favorite quote from him is, "When I do not who I am, I serve you. And when I do know who I am, you and I are one." That for me,
encapsulates
the notion of saying I, saying you, saying I am or me, you know, the sense of a way to, it's both a reference, but also goes beyond the reference. You know, whenever I like to say that, whenever I say you, I'm talking to you awareness, not you ego or like, you know.
Totally. The identity of separation is pretty flimsy.
Yes.
Is what you're getting at. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Marcelo has already yanked us into the depths seconds after reading his bio. No, thank you for that because, yeah, no, Hanuman is key. And so if anyone doesn't know who's listening, Ram Dass, that was his basically kind of spiritual deity who, you know, represented his servant to godness with Maharaji. Neem Karoli Baba was his guru. They were devotees of Hanuman. So check it out. Look it up if you're not aware, because it's a beautiful story. And Hanuman served Ram in the Ramayana is what that's from. So thanks for referencing. Yes. Marcelo, before we get into kind of more of the existential, which I think this episode will be pretty thorough in covering, just tell us a bit about your background and just how you started making art and integrating.
Of course. Well, and this is tied up totally with the first part, which the relation between creativity and spirituality since the beginning has been hand in hand. And the healing process of awareness comes from that, I feel, and especially with pragmatic, right, like practical creative exercises, deconstructing everything, and then also with it connecting the dots so far of our past experiences, our childhoods, you know, to see, to be aware again of the things we've done, we've experienced, how our minds have been shaped, for then to us to use that awareness to go forward, which with it, after talking about, I guess, what my practice is, we'll also talk about like life in bullet points. And we'll go through that, which this is a point of life, which I think visual mantra encompasses what I do. You know, I really love and I feel connected with doing art to align awareness, to share. I have realized that I do art to share my healing process, because the healing process that I've experienced is something that gives me life, and I want to share that life with others. And I have shared that with others, and it feels amazing to reciprocate that and to have the yeses, you know, and to also not the yeses, but the teachings that comes from other awarenesses. Because sometimes, especially in the beginning of our quote unquote journey, it's a little bit, it can be a little bit of a lone, a solitude, or being like, no one gets me, you know, like, chaos, you know. But that's why to express it, to live expression, and to share it, and to ask, what do you think about this? Let's deconstruct thought together, you know. It brings, as you were saying, Bob, are we crazy, you know, like,
jury's out for me, but no, you're right, this process invigorates you, is, you know, yeah, what you're getting at, that this your creative process has transformed you, and mm-hmm. therefore mm-hmm. it's become holistic to what you do, your exactly. brand and your creative spiritual explorations and your creativity. There's yes. not much division there, because they're so integrated. Yeah,
exactly. And that's, y'all were saying again, I love to reference, I'm referencing a lot.
Please.
From the podcast, I'm a big fan. Like, people have thought about this before, numerous times. Actually, yeah. One of your recent posts about like the photo of the book you took, the photo you took.
Die Genius, yeah.
Could you expand a little bit on that? I love to hear that from you.
Sure, yeah. I'm reading about Greek philosophy right now. And, you know, Greek philosophy was kind of a way in for me in the early years. And then I went kind of way east. And now I'm kind of coming back around to them. There's a lot of rich variation in the Greeks. I think we think of them almost like monolithic in some ways, and there's a lot of different schools. Cynics is who that post was. It was Diogenes, who was he was pretty famous for being very anti, like basically anti-civilization. He was like kind of an anarchist mystic who saw through a lot of the like false pretenses that people were putting up to kind of for social wins and so on. And like, you know, I don't know, the irony of me posting about Diogenes to Instagram, like, it wasn't lost on me. We'll probably talk about social media, because you yes. have beautiful art on there, but but yeah, Diogenes and the Cynics. And then you also have the Stoics, who we've talked about. Marcus Aurelius is probably the most famous Stoic, but Epictetus, Seneca was a senator. They were all about like controlling the mind and how our own beliefs are what we can influence, as opposed to much else. And then of course, Plato and the Socratic kind of students of those guys. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of rich stuff in the Greeks. But to your point, yes. Marcelo, you're absolutely right, that a lot of these ideas about you know, re-examining our lives and thinking more deeply about our existence on Earth. Like, this ain't new, it's very ancient. Yes. And there's a lot of variation, but what's exciting to, I think, you know, speaking on behalf of my collaborators here, Alina, Ryan, and Scott, you know, one thing we kind of all get excited about is the, you know, sometimes called the perennial philosophy, which is like the idea that it's all one teaching. It's masked in these variations and flavors, but ultimately it's yes. one message. And so exactly. anyway, you know, it's all that. No. I could keep going, but
and I feel more. the key here is to question everything, right? To not, because, and then this ties with like the his, like my life experience, you know, my life experience, which growing up in this just myriad, like just infinite amount of systemic beliefs, like so much right. that we're not aware of, you know, like of how totally. Many are programming,
yeah. culture programming.
Uh-huh. So the moment for me of saying stop was when I was in middle school. I was,
oh, wow.
So my middle school was shaped as a cross. Like, it is same. A former, yes, okay. I'm not. Yeah. It was a former nun school. You know, so there were just like scary stories about nuns and everything. Anyways, I digress. The point is that perceiving, living through the Catholic culture mm-hmm. and feeling a little, there was like this noise or this like dissonance of like, wait, like Jesus talks about this, but we are doing another thing, you know, like the, and then also like dynamics of my family. It was like, wait a minute. So we're supposed to love everyone, but then in practice not, you know? So that was like, no, you know, I'll just become atheist. Nothing exists. I'll start from zero.
And what a rejection of it all.
Yes. And I feel... Yeah. The deconstruction, like that's where deconstruction of everything started to happen.
Middle school, right?
Middle school, yes.
Yeah, I think that's an important moment too. I mean, to have that realization and like noticing, you know, on our Christianity episode, which is funny, you know, I don't know, looking back, like we talked mostly about Eastern stuff, but we had a fun Christianity kind of unraveling chat about we had that experience. We all had that moment of being like, wow, this guy's interesting, cool. Mm-hmm. And like loving, praying for your enemies, for example, is still something yes. that nobody does. Mm-hmm. I mean, by the way, 2020, very few yes. people are praying for their enemies. It's a pretty radical teaching. And, coming from a place of unity, but the actions of the institution is certainly at odds with a lot of those, you know, precepts. And so, you know, cheers to you for noticing that, you young sage.
Great. Okay, actually, one question, one pondering I'd like to share is just going with, like, a way of deconstructing, because there's a lot of ways of deconstructing, which in Spanish, I would say desmenuzar, which is like whenever you crumble chicken, you know, like just taking apart. Mm-hmm. Like that has this notion of going beyond, like, so saying like, okay, I think, why do I think? You know, I wrote a lesson that, but before thought, there's life, right? So I wrote this little thing where is, what was our first memory in this life? You know, like just pondering about it, meditate on it. And actually I share this to for the list for everyone to take note probably, and then one day think about it. It's beautiful to process those processes. And I just wrote like after an infinite amount of causes and effects, the cosmic expression, we remember becoming conscious of our bodies through memories of celebrations, deep interactions with nature, and play and imagination. of all provoking experiences. Just because, well, in my experience, like I thought about it, which is like, okay, what was my first memory? And the product of that questioning was, well, the most intense experiences of life, the most the experiences that took my attention, you know, mm-hmm. as Jason
said, the highest peaks and deepest lows.
Yes. Shout out to Jason Silva for just exploring that.
He's great.
The awe, you know, like the shot of awe, because it is in those moments where we transcend, where there is a deconstruction. That's another way of constructing experience for sure, to think about what brings us life. Then, of course, well, in elementary school, going a little bit for that, I'm left-handed, so that was also like a thing.
Oh, great.
Yes, I was writing with my left hand and everyone with the right hand, and I was like, wait, what's happening here, you know, like.
Classic outsider.
Yes. Like, why am I weird, you know, why am I different? Mm-hmm. This is interesting. I was pretty expressive, playful, curious, weird, energetic, as like right now. I have kept a lot. And then also, one of the beautiful things that happened is that, like, kids around me would be like, oh, he's the creative weird one, you know? And I would be like, yes, you know, like.
That's me.
You bet.
I love it.
Sometimes it would be like, Marcelo, you're too weird. And I'm like, yeah, what about it?
That's beautiful. Were you kind of expressing all of your creative outlets at these young ages as well? Or did that just kind of evolve as you got older? Would love to hear more about that.
It definitely fluctuated. Okay. But I definitely, the way to notice that, and I feel it's a universal thing, is to, again, go to our past, like, what have we written? What have we drawn? What has been our creative outlets? And then see them be like, oh, I created this for this reason, you know? And then be like, oh, I was feeling life in this moment, you know? Aware of not, that doesn't matter. It matters, it's that expression of full life. Which, again, talking about society, you know, we have repressed expression a lot. We have repressed it.
Sure.
But, you know, with that repression keeps us from further discoveries, from further creations. Mm-hmm. I was a member of a comic club. I played bass. Music, music is amazing. Music is definitely, have been an art therapy as well. Mm-hmm. We talked about the rebellious phase, atheist, decided to question everything. I was dark. I was like kind of like emo dark at that moment. I was like, no one understands me. You know, like typical anxious, angsty kid, which I feel it's like, that's beautiful, you know, like actually just going to a book, Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth. Have you read that one?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Ryan?
Big Eckhart heads.
Mm-hmm. No.
Not Eckhart. That one.
Please.
Equal to Power of Now, I think, right?
Yeah, I've heard the Power of Now. Yes. Yeah.
Quote unquote, it's not really.
Yes. I feel a new earth.
Quite serial, but yeah.
A New Earth is like, go through it, you know?
Nice.
One of my favorite things about the book so far, I'm like halfway through, even, you know. Have it like open heat. It's the paradox of pain, you know, the letting the suffering become the light of consciousness. It's like, yes.
Yeah.
Such wisdom.
It's beautiful. Yes. Yeah. When Ram Dass says something like, when you realize suffering is grace, it's like you're cheating. And you can use everything like, for your own transcendence. I was just going to say, you know, tell us about some of those early explorations. You talked about music, you're currently doing mostly design, graphic design, and photography. But yeah, no, I mean, I tell us about that process of like taking the picture, adding to it. You know, for people who aren't familiar with Marcelo's work, you know, basically what you're doing is you're pulling out this essence, to use your word, from that bio. You know, you're trying to visually show off an addition to the presence of that subject. And yeah, it's a really interesting technique visually. We're obsessed, and Melina told us the other day, like, she was just like caught herself scrolling on your Instagram endlessly. It's so beautiful, your work. And yeah, tell us about kind of your, you know, to the point of you coming into your own and coming into these realizations. Like, when did you start to integrate that into your artwork?
Yes, I would say that just going back to deconstruction, that process is one that shaped, that changed my life, you know. And then from there, the whole process of deconstruction is to experiment and to first shoot, you know, like,
shock and blast. Yeah, totally.
Yes. And then learning from that, taking note. I love to recommend the taking note. Like, taking note is underappreciated, undervalued, because have limited memories, and we forget, and like our mental habits take over, and we become then a cycle. So to break the cycle is to take note first, and then to reread, or to, okay, yes, so after taking note, it's then again taking note of the notes, and then taking notes of the notes, and then bringing them into the essence, right? Like, what I was trying to say in this, what's the essence of that? What was the intention of that? You know, actually, writing in bullet points, like going like straight to the point, for me, it's just like, that's it. It's clarity, you know? And then from there, well, that's also why that's the mantra part of visual mantra, right? Like, mantras being this, actually, what is a mantra? Ryan, what's a mantra for you?
Yeah, I mean, when I think of the word mantra, obviously it's a, you know, a vocal thing. I think that's where my mind goes first, and something that you use as a tool to connect to yourself and connect to spirit and to stay connected to spirit. Something that you repeat over and over and over again. And I feel that that applies to your art directly. I mean, I love that name, because when you look at your art, that's what it's doing. It's something that's bringing you closer to spirit. And it's something that you can look at over and over and over again to bring you to spirit. And I really love I'm a big nerd for symmetry. if it was my way, all of my art would be symmetrical. I know that people get bored with that. I seem to never get bored with it, so.
And the sacred geometry vibe, yeah.
Totally. That would be mantra to me. And I really, you know, I never really thought about, you know, if you were to take the word mantra, which I know as a saying that you repeat over and over again to feel closer to spirit, if you were to, what does a visual mantra look like?
Exactly.
That's great. I love it. I really love it.
Any other comments towards the word? I think, well, one, wow. Actually, thank you. That's an amazing.
Marcelo's going to take notes. We need to pause the show so we can take notes on this.
Yes. That's a very great way of. I'm glad. I know. I just love the way Ryan put that into words, because I would definitely agree with what you were saying, and just adding on that vocal piece of whenever I think of mantra, which is why I'm so captivated by your visual aspect of it. And so the only thing I would add to what Ryan's saying is just connecting to that energy of spirit as well through the expressing vocally.
Mantras is like healing reprogramming. If we think of like repeating something to like infuse it to the brain, to perspective, you know, to change perspective, to heal perspective, really. And on the visual part, the exploration of expansion, right? Like, because you can say expansion, you can draw expansion, you know. you can say we are energy, you can draw we are energy. And to draw it is to explore it in a flow state, you know, to experience it in meditation. And then we'll end up, it's either like at the same time or after or whatever, but to go deep into it, you know, to express, to visualize something that it's in the mind, that it's not in the physicality, that it's not like, oh yeah, I can like rip apart my head and like see the light coming through it with an eye, you know, but to represent it in this like mythical form, a myth. It's amazing for that. And Ryan, thank you for recommending Living Myth. Michael Mead, shout out.
Yeah.
Which in this case is more like it's taking the concept of myth and making it our own. You know, I think that's also important to take what inspires us and not like, instead of copying it, instead of like imitating it, make it your own. Like explore it, express it in your own words, in your own visuals, in your own expression. And I feel that's a pretty beautiful part of of self-discovery. Does that cover your point about like visual modalities?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was gonna just add to that, you know, the mystics use symbolic language, right? One of the main differences between religious institution and spiritual mystics is that religious institutions use literal doctrine. They use the letter of the word, and that's the rule of the law, and you obey that, you damn heathen, and that's how you find the truth. And the mystics say, no, you know, there's no way to represent this unless we use symbols. We're going to use symbolic language or poetry or mantra.
Art.
Right. So in a very real sense, that's what you're doing, is you're using symbols visually to get across these concepts and get across these ideas when you're in that state.
To point to the truth.
To point to it.
Because that's the only thing we can do, to point.
That's right. Just a finger pointing at the moon, baby.
Yes, it's like, it's throwing like, okay, this is what I'm trying to say, knowing that the drawing is still something that's thought. That's actually, I want to talk about thought in general, like later on, because that's transcending thought. In transcending thought, it becomes a just giant infinite liberation. But going back to life experience in bullet points, I think this is liberating for sure. This is something that changed my life for some reason, which we don't really need to like really try to understand it too much, but I explored infinite love in high school through a romantic relationship, right? Like Sonia, shout out to you. Saludos. She's in Oaxaca right now. But like we met and for some reason we decided to explore infinite love together. And that the exploration of infinite love and infinite art, she's an illustrator as well. So to be inspired with love and art and create art together and talk about art and explore love, expand love, deconstruct love, because Love has been distorted, you know, like a lot. It has become something conditional. Love in this age is a conditional love.
Yeah.
So there is for sure some
spot on
to do that.
Well, the ego, I think that's the aim of it, is to yes. make it selfish and make it
mine.
Like you said, if you do this, then exactly. I'll do this. And mm-hmm. yeah, breaking that is huge. Marcelo, tell us a little bit more, and Ryan too. Talk us through Art Island. What the hell is it?
Yes, that's yes. that's love. That's love.
Speaking of love, segueing into.
Oh my God, Ryan, would you like to?
Yeah, totally. So Art Island is kind of an arts collective that myself and Maria Gauté founded. Probably, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago. And started out really small, and she has this amazing property in East Austin, right on the river. And we started throwing little art parties down there in her backyard on the river. And we would start doing events, like, it was probably about every 2 to 3 months. And each time we would, you know, create a theme for the event and then invite all of our friends, as many artists that wanted to come join, just to come make art based on that theme. And then we'd set up a sound system, and I'd line up some DJs, and we'd just, you know, play music all day. And our good friend Maite is an amazing chef, and she makes food and bites. And and then we have our good friend Jason, who does traditional Gong Fu Cha tea service. And so, yeah, just an amazing, just like cosmic collision of talent, yes. Across different, you know, yeah, different mediums. And whether it's food or photography or tea or whatever it is. And so, yeah, we've been doing that for a few years. We've had, I think, 6 official events, maybe 7. And obviously the pandemic, you know, pretty much shut us down. We moved everything online over the summer and did like these online Zoom raves, which were a ton of fun. People would get dressed up in their apartments and houses and then decorate their houses and apartments. And we just have a big online Zoom party. And it was a ton of fun. And we're currently, we had our first in-person event, which was a masked, socially distanced, limited ticket event. We normally have around over 300 people that come through our events each time we throw it. And, this one we had 40 people, tickets. So pretty drastic changes, just trying to figure out how to do this in the middle of a pandemic and keep everyone safe and healthy, but also allow people to still feel like they can get out and enjoy some art and, not feel, you know, trapped in their homes. So it's a delicate yes. line, to walk. Marcelo joined us, earlier this year. Did you come to the January event?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That was your first one, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I don't remember. I know this came up in conversation in one of our meetings, maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, but I don't remember meeting you at event. I mean, I typically am like running around, like just, I handle all the power and lighting and, everything else for it. So, but I remember you know, obviously showing up to our Zoom parties, and then, slowly, especially for this last one that we had, Marcelo was probably the most center artist in the entire event. It was, I mean, he designed our poster and designed kind of a whole branding around it. And then had his hands in multiple installations, at the event too. And, just a joy to be around. It was really inspiring to see how quickly he kind of, you know, and that's what our group is about, is like, it's just whoever wants to participate, just,
yes,
that's it. And you know, and Marcelo came in and he wanted to participate in a big way. And obviously we opened that door, like however much you want to take control of or want to be a part of, like, let's do it. And, he really dove in and, It was amazing. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, the poster I saw was
gorge. Pretty much everything associated with Art Island is super high design.
Yeah, yes, he did a really beautiful breakdown of that poster too, which like totally blew my mind. Like I mean, I always loved that poster, but you know, seeing it broke down piece by piece in the way that you did that, Marcelo, was just incredible. And I quickly realized when you did that, that that's like, that is the process of your art. Is it is deconstruction. Mm-hmm. It is like construction, deconstruction. It's like taking bits and pieces to construct a whole, and then deconstructing it as well to communicate that to your audience. And it's really amazing. I'm just I'm a big, big fan of you and your art. So
thank you. Wow. Okay. First of all, big shout out, big love to Art Island. Oh, the crew. Pure light, beacons of light. That's all I like to say. Oh.
That's an amazing group.
And the new earth experience. So the thing about Visual Mantra and like the commission or the participation, the collaboration with other people is whatever commission, whatever design someone wants me to do, I like to bring the mindfulness on it. I love to bring obviously the intention of it. Whenever I saw that Art Island was organizing an event about the new world, I was like, I'm full in. Like, I'm exploring this right now.
You're like, I'm
this,
reading this a new case. Earth right now.
Yeah. Well, funny thing that actually it was after the new world that I started to read about the new earth. Same thing, cool. Which
anyway, don't listen to me.
Creativity, like the definition of creativity, talking about the definition you were talking, please listen. If you haven't listened, please listen to the first 5 episodes, y'all. Listeners, they're amazing.
Thanks, dog.
Thank you.
Now, inspired by it also, what is mindfulness? What is metaphysicals? What is metaphysics? What is a non-duality? But what is creativity as well, right? Which exploring that concept of creativity, I have written that creativity is natural reorganization, I put, which it can be a little like, how can I say it? Not confusing, but so I put by natural, we refer to the infinite cause effect of the universe. And by reorganization, we point to the way our brains build up stimulating ideas from the decoded references that surround it. Just creativity is expression of the cosmos. Creativity is expression, you know? It's hard to understand it, but it is amazing. Yeah.
Tell us about your process too a bit more, and thanks for that background, Ryan. I love what you guys were talking about earlier, where you said you're iterating, you're always iterating on kind of each edition. You're carving away maybe what's dissonant almost, if I'm hearing correctly, and keeping it to the essence. What's your process for when you, like, for example, make a new design? Do you, I'm assuming you do some meditation before, or, you know, you get into a space of consciousness, right?
Yes.
Okay. For the flow.
For the flow.
Consciousness.
And how do I do it?
Well, the secret.
This is what I've been waiting for.
So... The first point here is that the mind is always the underlying medium of art creation. Thought is the underlying medium. So to lose thought is the first step, you know, to let thought run, you know, without too much limitation. Brainstorming, you know, that's what brainstorming is. Then actually, I wrote a blog post about it, which is called Awareness in the Creative Process.
Mm-hmm.
That's where creativity explained. And also it's where I share some of the like bullet in bullet points, the creative exercises that I love to do to bring out those ideas, which as a preface, again, creativity and spirituality go hand in the way both optimize slash maximize our immersion in the here and now, our transcendence of stress and anxiety, the access to flow states, the dissolution of any limitation of expression through curiosity, our ability to play, deconstruct, experiment, explore, learn, love, tapping into a higher frequency. You know, to tap into a higher frequency just means being sensible to the experience, which that means of writing prompts, thinking about prompts even. On my website, you can go on the blog.
Which section. Is visualmantra.art?
Yes. Yes, sir. Visualmantra.art. with there I included concrete exercises for it. One of my favorite, just because of that human connection, that dynamic aspect, is the creative session, the creative talks. This is a creative session, you know, to use our capacity to of wonder, right?
Mm-hmm.
To ponder about things, to be like, whoa.
What's one of the prompts?
The prompts is...
I mean, don't spill all your secrets, but give us one example.
Yes, I have it here. Let's see. Okay. So, going back to el desmenuzar al pensamiento, to crumble down thought. There's several questions, actually have here with a friend, shout out to Caitlin, a beautiful friend and teacher who is starting art therapy. She's doing art therapy.
Nice.
Deflate with Kate. That's her Instagram. I love her.
Love it.
One thing that I highly recommend, especially in these times, is to schedule a meeting with a friend every 15 days. You know, like reach out to a friend and be like, hey, let's talk. Let's have a creative session, right? And ask us interesting questions, which we were writing about. We're doing a list of questions for spiritual healing, for example, you know? Like, what is your intention in life? What brings you life? Who are you? That's an amazing exercise, which comes from between high school and college. For some reason, I got into this summer camp of psychology, Gestalt psychology. Are y'all familiar with Gestalt?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it. I know it's a branch of, yeah.
Yes, it's a branch of psychology in German. It's a German word meaning pattern of thought.
Mm.
Which my teacher there would ask a lot, "Who are you?" And we would explore the
essence. It's a key question. It's important sit with that. Yeah.
Yes, and to whatever answer it is, ask then. But what's beyond that?
Yeah.
You know, what's beyond that? And what's beyond that? What's the essence of the essence? You know?
Yeah, because in the West, we just say, oh, I'm a marketer.
Yes,
who are I am you? I'm a car salesman. That's who I am.
Yes.
Economic, make a living. Our economic value is what our identity is. Or it's familial. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a friend.
Yeah.
You know, the key here is I'm all of them. And
exactly.
None of them.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I can't,
what's up?
I was gonna say, I can't help but to recognize the parallels of the teachings of Ramana Maharshi here.
Yeah, it's Advaita.
self-inquiry.
yes.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if you're familiar with him, Marcelo, but a lot of, yeah, what you're saying just reminds me a lot of his kind of teachings of self-inquiry.
I would love to read about Rama Dashi, but it sounds like a cool dude.
Yes.
Yeah, who am I?
If you're not familiar, you would absolutely love his teachings. It is all about the who am I and kind of trying to understand, the layers behind that.
Yes.
And it's a deconstruction, really.
Of course.
It's kind of amazing, the parallels.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, that's so synchronous with everything you're talking about, Marcel.
Yeah.
Maybe you might fall in love with the teachings and everything.
I know I will. And as Bob was saying, like, everything points to the same thing, right? In my case, just because of life experience, I decided to explore this through creativity. Creativity was the drive. And like as a kid, I was like, okay, like I want to be more creative. How do I do that? You know, like my friends are telling me I'm creative. I need to live up to that. How can I be more creative? Through presence, through deconstruction. And then I was like, oh, wait. I'm live, you know, like, oh, fuck.
You went too far.
I love that.
Like, at the surface level, I also wrote, like, tell me how much life you perceive in yourself, not how old are you or your zodiac sign. Tell me about the experiences that have brought you here and what is that brings you life. I don't care where you're from or where you studied or who or for whom you work. Tell me how you love, not how many lovers you've had. Like, I don't really care about that, you know? Like,
love it.
That's
Yeah, I really appreciate your practical emphasis on these things. You know, we started out the show before we hit record by you asking what our intention was. And I really like that. I think, you know, despite even being close to this material, kind of philosophically, I can oftentimes get caught, you know, get stuck in the motions. I mean, that's what this practice is constantly trying to arrive, right? Always arriving. We're always coming back to it, always coming back to it. But
yes.
I appreciate your emphasis on pragmatic, you know, the tagline is Mystic Philosophy Made Practical for the show. So you're hitting it right on as far as like using these exercises and using these kind of meditations to recenter, particularly around creativity. But I think what you're talking about applies for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's the unconditional part of everything, right? Because of course everyone has been there where one day you're like, whoa, I'm live. The other day or the next minute, you're like, ugh, fear, you know, like, ugh, resentment.
Yeah.
And then,
well, not me. I'm only the positive ones. I'm glad you brought this up.
Or yay, fear.
Yay, fear, yes. Whatever experience comes in, right? It's what's teaching us at the end is unconditionality.
Mm.
Hey, let the fire of suffering become the light of consciousness again. You know, like, and then this, you know, like being an ally for experience. You know, like. What else? If I'm not an ally, I'm not helping out, you know, I'm not expressing myself. I'm limiting expression.
Mm.
Oh, that's an interesting transition into a lot of, you know, pretty constant theme of your work too, which is higher consciousness. One of
yes.
the pieces recently talked about your own contributions. May our own contributions help ascend ourselves and others, you know, which is like the Bodhisattva doctrine in Buddhism. It's like compassion for others is their path. And that's really key. And I think just really interesting as far as thinking about your art in that way of like adding to a positive, like there's so many inputs to people's consciousness now that aren't grounded in that space.
Yes.
So, which also, I don't know how that felt, even just to make that judgment call on, the spiritual heads tend to do that about being like, well, there's just so much garbage out there. But like, from the perspective of Marcelo's unconditional, like it's all part of the dance, it's all a part of it. And so I try to be careful with that, those kind of judgmental things. But that said, not everybody, that's still true, that a lot of things on TV are trying to sell you Budweiser's, and they're not trying to align your higher consciousness, and so on. And so, tell us about that. Tell us about how you, came into the higher conscious contribution.
Yes. Okay, basically, a key thing that I wanted to touch on, seeing through. The concept of seeing through, that's saying of expressing that y'all are energy. I am energy. We are all energy. Like, to see through character, it's essential, to not get caught up with identification, to not look at the other and be like, to put judgments on them, but instead realizing really that they are life. They are like an expression of the cosmos. Whatever that's their expression, it is, like the isness of everything. Judgment, it's a limitation to it. By judging, we're limiting. We gotta be patient. We gotta be soft with us, understanding, be unconditional really, to heal from that, because otherwise it's resentment. Otherwise it's falling into those cycles that are in the grand scheme of thing, surrender, right? Which, let's see, social media and sending out higher humanity messaging is for sure these aspects of higher consciousness, because the internet, right? Like, it's such this interesting, amazing web of information. It's this universe of
collective conscious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Collective expression. So that's the reason I have an Instagram. And that's, you posted that photo of the book, it's social media. It's our, it's a tool for the mind. It's a tool to express. And it's also, it's a magnet, right? Like, energy begets energy. Whatever energy we put out, that's the energy we're most likely to get, right? So if I'm sharing about love, I am going to resonate with people who think who resonate with it. And so that creates a ripple effect, that creates this impact in both ways. We're able to connect, expand on that, create together, heal together. And that is a beautiful thing, because then it's also the spirituality applied. Right? Like, what can we do with this spirituality? Well, let's share it. Let's grow together. Let's continue construction, and let's explore new ideas, which actually, that's why I did a little, like, the marketing background, I think it came in with this, which is like, okay, how can I deliver a message in a creative way? I feel marketing that, like delivering messages in creative ways, in new ways. So this little postcard, which is also at the website for the can't see it.
visualmantra.art.
Actually, that brought me back to your jokes about like promoting
mysticism. I know it's very bizarre, but here we are.
We're humans. The human experience is beautiful.
Yes.
Very necessary, but I did want to say, I think it's beautiful that on your, and on the Instagram piece, I liked the piece of, you know, putting out the energy that you put out is the energy that we're going to bring back. And so with the other side of that, with Instagram being such a big platform of, you know, connecting different energies, I also think, well, I'm curious, correct me if I'm wrong, not only has your Instagram attracted similar energies and similar human connections, but also maybe not so similar people that haven't recognized that that's the energy that they need. And they're so attracted to what you're putting out that you're almost waking people up in the process.
Cute. Well, it's everything, you know, like there's people who have come through send messages and like, I see you, you know, like I see it. And I'm like, I see you, you know, like, oh,
beautiful.
Yeah, it's really nice to open up my phone and get like sacred geometry consciousness opening reminder from Visual Mantra instead of like my cousin swinging a golf club or what, I, you know, which hey. Was my cousin.
Go and that's mindfulness. Long,
but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
that's mindfulness. Us.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like to be mindful about what we put out. The Four Agreements. Have you read that book?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Be impeccable with your word. You know, like if we're using word, let us use it to heal. Let us use it to share inspiration. Let us use it to share love, to heal ourselves, to heal maybe others, to have that intention.
Yeah. Has power for sure.
Actually, I have this like little section where I put be here now related to Visual Mantra, you know, with like the mindfulness, metaphysics, and non-duality, I put mindfulness. Visual Mantra relates to mindfulness because it's human connection, conversation of love, shared healing, creative spaces and practices, shared meditations in the blog part of the website, intention and attention, finding instead of searching. That's a big one here. Instead of searching, because it can be distracting to keep on searching. And actually that's a quote I get, or that's like a learning that I got from Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. Yes? Mm. Yes? Have you all
heard? Sure.
That's that boy resonated with me totally, which is like, stop searching. You know, there's a lot of things that you can find in this
present. It implies you're lost.
Exactly. Exactly.
letting the universe flow and just trusting that, you know, that's the finding instead of searching, which is, you know, the grasping and I need this thing instead of letting it come to you, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's an uneasiness energy that comes out of that search.
And then with metaphysics, exploration of altered states, high frequency downloads, meditations with higher states, which in that way is just letting the imagination run, you know, like letting the mind go. And whether it's real or not, that doesn't matter. Really, like what matters? So why not letting the self be channeled through those practices of inspiration, where in meditation, picture yourself in a room, entering a room where there is light in it, and let the light talk to you. That in itself is so powerful, that unconditional light, this higher self saying, doesn't matter if you forget about me. It doesn't matter if you come to this room or not. I'm here, and this is a place of healing. You know, that has helped a lot.
I really love that. Please continue, because I have something to come back at you with all this stuff. This is great.
Yes, let's talk. Yeah, we'll for sure talk about channeled energy. Oof. And then, awareness of the unity of it all, you know, foundational transcendence of thought, cosmic consciousness, being aware of awareness, being aware of how the universe expresses, how the cosmos expresses itself, and just let it, like, observe it, you know, observing that expression.
Mm.
So what you've done just now is define the three main, you know, definitions from Beware How, our show, our project, our brand, yes. and so on, is mindfulness, yes. metaphysics, yes. and non-duality. Marcelo yes. has written up expansions on each of these terms, how they relate to his work and how they relate to each other, actually.
Yes.
As well. And I think that you just described them as well as anybody. And I think, you know, I really love the association of metaphysics with imagination, because I think that's mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. true and yes, very powerful. Infinite. Yeah, yes. absolutely. But you're right in that there's a lot of similarity. And, you know, I think like it's a Venn diagram if we're going with visuals,
yes.
because there's yes. overlap in each one yes. of these concepts. But yeah, you walked us through them. So nicely.
I'm actually,
going to take notes on what you said.
it's an invitation for like, please don't believe me, you know, like, please not just take blindly what we're saying, sure. what everyone says, what you say. Explore about it, you know, like, yeah. for you, for each of you, what is mindfulness for you, what is metaphysics for you, what is creativity for you, and what is non-duality for you, and let your words, let your experience talk through that mm-hmm. beautiful exercise.
That's an important disclaimer.
Yes. And actually, that's a creative exercise that I would love to also share. And also, like, give credits. I would be here how on my blog, because that's a beautiful practice. That's also the fifth agreement. Have you read the fifth agreement?
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, like,
Don Miguel Ruiz's follow-up to the first four.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Don Miguel. No. Shout out to Don Miguel Ruiz. We just mentioned the book, but not the author. So the fifth agreement is learn to listen, be skeptical, you know, and that sure. skepticism and that learning to listen turns into becoming a seer. Actually, there's a chapter in the book that talks about becoming a seer, seeing through thought in itself. Let's see.
I'm glad you're bringing that up. But we talked to a scientist a couple weeks ago, and he's an open-minded scientist, but we entered that mm-hmm. space of like skepticism mm-hmm. and science and spirituality, and he described us as jumping off the cliff, which is funny to me. I just love that image. He's like, I feel like y'all have jumped off the cliff, and I'm just like looking over the edge of it. And I was like, well, first of all, come on off the cliff. But second of all, where are we heading to? Yeah. He was like, no, there's a nice waterfall at the bottom and it's a beautiful place to swim in. Not like you're jumping to die. So
that's
an important clarification. But no, I think skepticism is very useful, and especially in the spiritual space. I think if any listeners are new to just the world of spiritual philosophy, that is an important tool to carry, you know, make sure that you balance your openness with some skepticism and some just kind of like internal intuitive mitigation of all this information.
Yes, yes. With that, one of the things also that I would love to talk about is, okay, how can we alchemize experience? How can we turn experience that may seem negative to the teaching, the higher teaching? I like to say high frequency decoding, you know, which in this case, let's be relevant and talk about COVID, right? Like. Okay, but COVID in its sense, like if you look at the word itself, you can divide the word and put like co in a creative sense, you know, it's us, right? Like
collaborative.
And vid, wow. vid is vida, right? Life. So isn't this like play on words? It's a collaborative life we're living through, right? Because this is a a global like a slap, you know, global search of experience. And then that's why, and I repeat, the fire of suffering of the light of consciousness and the life of consciousness, this paradox of pain, the way the collective is experiencing pain right now is going to be so beautiful, just so productive, so enlightening. I wrote opening up to feel, to observe the isness of life, the life of life, from being fixated into the microscope to the awareness of the observer. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the tiny details and like, my life,
right,
my experience. We get romantic about it. But it's important.
So stepping away.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so important. It's so true.
Yes.
I really love that deconstructive breakdown of the word COVID. That was really it's really cool. I too have tried, you know, as always, to find the light in pain and find the light in suffering. And I think that deconstruction of the word is a excellent excellent way to look at it, for sure. Yeah, that's great.
It's a beautiful example of how profound Marcelo's processes are.
No, totally. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Turning pain into growth, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, for a second, I was like, where are we going to go with this? Like, how the co part, and then it was then the vid. And then when you finished everything, I don't know if you saw my face, but it was just kind of like a, it was like, wow.
Yeah. So beautiful. Breaking your jaw off the floor for few moments. So was that.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
That as well, like the deconstruction of words, and to use words in our, like to use words, not to be used by words. to play with words. That's a creative exercise for you, like for us, you know, play with words. Sometimes the rigidness of the rules and the, like, the rhyme and the structures can limit expression, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They for sure can be a good foundation for creativity to be channeled and expressed, but it's important to go for it freely.
To not be defined by the medium, you know, kind of almost like the surrealists splattering paint on the canvas in a way to kind of react to or reject traditional foundations. That's sounds like what you're talking about is don't be confined by the medium, you know. Yeah,
well, and in that sense, that same sense, our medium is our thought. Like our foundational medium is thought itself. Like before grabbing the pencil, before using the instrument, thought is behind that, you know. So that's the most beautiful thing to explore, thought and our expression, and to heal ourselves, to expand expression. And that's something that I'm working on, you know. Like, it's for sure being a beautiful journey of exploration and expansion, which I'm grateful for. I'm so grateful.
We're grateful for you. Thank you for illuminating all these concepts with us. We have kind of a formulaic final question, which is books. Favorite books and teachers.
Yeah,
already talked about a few, but
give us all of them.
Yes, here's the complete list. So Be Here Now, Ram Dass, just because it's visual. Ram Dass in Be Here Now uses visual mantra.
It totally does.
You know?
So true.
Like, he uses images. and words in an aesthetic way to convey messages. So I put like bullet points to each book, which Be Here Now for me is visual, concrete. Another first I wouldn't write, one I would recommend, that's just me, but the second one's The Fifth Agreement, Don Miguel Ruiz. 3 bullet points of that, it's Be Skeptical but Learn to Listen. Toltec, do you know what the meaning of being Toltec, right? The Toltec meaning is artist of the soul. It's just amazing. And then Unbecoming a Seer,
which is the name of the tribe. That's the name of the tribe. Yeah, wow.
Of course, it's the foundation of the culture. That's why sometimes writing's like, wow, our ancestors were right. And then altered traits. Science reveals how meditation changed your mind, brain, and body, by Daniel Coleman and Richard Davidson. For the scientific approach, it's pragmatic. It's like, here are the facts, you know, here are the studies.
Book is huge.
Yes.
I think more scientifically minded folks that are new to spirituality and new to meditation, that's read that one, because what they did, both of those guys have been studying meditation scientifically for 40 years, 50 years. And Richard Davidson was one of the first neuroimaging scientists, researchers, studying meditation with like EEG machines and things like that. And what they do, which I think they do very well, is they discuss the grounded research of what meditation actually does versus the exaggerative claims and hyperbole in the space, and kind of dismissing like the enlightened, get enlightened in 30 days crowd, and saying no, but there is real benefit, you know. So they're just two monumental voices in meditation research. I'm glad you brought that book up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like it's the skeptic side of thought, right? Mm-hmm. Then Siddhartha, Hermann Hesse, that book, like I resonated so much with that book. I actually felt in this romantic way, you know. I was like, wow, that's like, that's a past life, you know. I was like, wow, like we are Siddhartha. Expansive Journey of Deconstruction, Human Relatable Approach to the Process of Awakening, which is like a total deconstruction and exploration of life. And then, it touches on non-duality. I love that word. And then another book, Consciousness, An Introduction. This one, you know, I wanted to keep on exploring the scientific side of it. And this book is by Susan Blackmore and Emily T. Troshenko. And this book is a combination of neuroscience, psychology, and philosophy. There's a lot of studies and thorough examinations. What's up?
I might need you to remind me of what it is later. I'll have to go back and listen, because I don't think I've heard of that book and those authors.
So my intention with writing this document, everything will be on a blog post on my website.
We send out the emails that has the book recs. Thanks for opening all the emails. We really appreciate that.
The conclusion of the book is that Zen Buddhism is the closest approach to the latest findings of neuroscience, which I'm like,
All right.
non-duality. A fair summary, like an audiobook that summarizes the book, if you really, because it's like, it's a big book. It's like a textbook. It's like a literally like a university textbook. So another good summary is Conscious by Anaka Harris. She touches on the most important points and goes like straight to the point. I like it.
She's Sam Harris's wife. She's a researcher in her own right, by the way. But she's married to Sam Harris, a famous philosopher.
So you can, that's a beautiful book. Well, an audiobook in this case. A New Earth, Eckhart Tolle. We've talked about it. It's the freshest in the list. How to Change Your Mind. My boy, Michael Pullen. Oh, I love I highly recommend getting the audiobook for it. History of Psychedelics, Direct Experimentation with Them, and Applications Going Forward. If you liked Fantastic Fungi, the documentary, go for it.
I was just going to say, this book is interesting or significant within psychedelic communities because Michael Pollan is not Timothy Leary. Michael Pollan is a respected New York Times journalist and author. He primarily writes about diet. He's wrote a lot about food. And so he was very, like, in his own words, like, somewhat hesitant to explore psychedelics and explore their research, but he just kind of couldn't look away, I think, at some point after some investigation. And so it's, like, written from the perspective of, like, not Terrence McKenna, who I have great affinity for, but it's, again, it's kind of a nice, I think, from the more skeptical side, more scholarly side, and, like, he's real into it now from some of the lectures I've seen of his stuff. When he was touring that book, he was like, well, actually, yeah, this stuff, you could explain it more, but I remember him discussing about how like default mode network, which is like the standard neurological processes that psychedelics helps unravel. It helps cure people with addiction. From verified data, and the difficulty, I think, politically, we touched on this a little bit earlier, is that it's hard for those researchers actually to conduct scientific studies on substances that are considered illegal by the U.S. government. So it's tricky stuff, but it's a great book. He's a great author.
Yet is so ancient, you know.
Right, this earth growing stuff.
It's
don't touch it.
Prison. It's so
bad.
It's so natural, you know, and what it teaches us, what it comes to tell us, is our connection. It connects us with, like, the essence of nature, you know. It's a channel, you know. That's why, it's the foundation of religions, you know, ancient some religions. I don't want to put.
Yeah, we'll have to save that for the next episode, Marcelo.
Yes. Yes, that's too much. Exactly. Like, yeah, I don't want to go on that, but just nature. Okay. Then The Harvard Psychedelic Club by Don Latin. Oh, that's an amazing book. It's like a history of how the revolution started, which what I like to say is that in the 60s there was the revolution. Now it's more of an evolution, right? It is not like, let's go, you know, like yelling out yelling.
It is a little bit like that.
Yes, but like, I feel it's more like
there's more transcendence focus. Yeah.
Yes. It's more holistic, right?
I love that. I love that, and I agree. It feels like there is an evolution in terms of psychedelics and the way that we relate to them. I feel like there is absolutely an evolution happening right now. Yeah, especially with a lot of, was it Oregon that just decriminalized
Portugal?
Yeah. Wow, it's amazing. And then, mushrooms are obviously being decriminalized all over. I know Colorado was the first. I think there's maybe a couple other states now. So, and that's going to open up funding. That's what it's going to do. It's going to open up funding and make it a lot easier for people to start researching this stuff. So I love that, and I agree. And also, great movie recommendation, by the way. If anyone has not seen Fantastic Fungi, it's an amazing one. Really, really incredible documentary.
Gotta check that out.
Awesome.
Yes, please. And then the last two books, Waking Up, Sam Harris audiobook. That was how I did it. but rational spiritual practice informed by neuroscience and psychology. It talks about meta awareness. And the last one is The Sophia Code by Kaya Ray. That's like strictly like metaphysical. The key thing that I got from the book is that enlightenment, to be enlightened, is to recognize the light within. Like, take every complexity away. It's enlightenment is to be light, to recognize light inside of us. The thing I think it was like a good conclusion for, where is it? Is it here?
You're doing my job for me, so thank you.
I love bullet points. I love to
be intentional. You're getting to the core of the message, man.
Intention.
Exactly. Yeah, I go on and on, so I need to learn that from you.
with Ryan, what Ryan was saying, with the shifting consciousness and the evolution, like just expanding on the evolution of modern consciousness, I wrote, a shift in consciousness is happening, and our intention is to support it through our expression. Expression that embodies a frequency of unconditional love and presence. How? Seeing the self in the other and seeing through both. That's actually Eckhart Tolle's quote, what is love? To see the self in others, you know, plain and simple. And then seeing through both, you know, like that's sure. Like a creative ad there. Exploring and reconstructing the human experience in collaboration, being an ally to experience. And that is it, you know. I'm excited. I am excited to continue sharing this healing process with others and meeting in whatever point in life and thought.
Marcella, we have been so transfixed by you this entire episode. So thank you very much for coming on and sharing.
Thank you.
I am just gonna point everyone to your art and to basically everything you do. Just keep sharing, keep posting, please. Keep writing, making, and inspiring.
So
and come back and see us in the future. It'd be fun to have you. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Your work is so important. So thank you for everything that you do, seriously.
We are agents of creation. We are agents of supporting the good old life, you know? So thank you for having this initiative. Thank you for this initiative. This fucking initiative. So,
thanks for raising the bar.
Thank but lower you so it, much.
So I don't feel so bad about myself. Totally kidding. Thank you, Marcella. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcella.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
Yes.
Until next time.
Yeah. Until next time. Yes.